Well, good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? You guys should be more awake than the second service. You guys had more time to sleep, and maybe you're doing other things. I don't know. Anyways, I'm Bob Elster, as Derek mentioned, and I attend here at Chapel now. And just a little background on me. So my family and I, we live in Bellingham. I have two kids, Caleb and Ariana. And Ariana's over hanging out with me. Caleb took off after first service, along with my wife. I do a lot of life and business coaching, some speaking, things like that. And I used to be involved in ministry. I was a pastor for a number of years as well. So it's great to be back up here and having the opportunity to bring the message this morning. And it is Youth Sunday this morning, and there's lots of trouble in the back row over there. So you guys make sure you stay calm over there, right? it's Youth Sunday, and so as I prayed and thought about kind of what I would be speaking about this morning, obviously I kind of had that in mind. And what came to mind for me is making good choices. The reality is that the choices that we make in life, they pretty much determine the direction that we're going to go. And I think as we're growing up, you know, when we're younger, our parents make a lot of those decisions for us, right? And then as we get older, we start to make those choices ourselves. And those choices become more our responsibility, and the impact of those choices become greater as well. And I think that during kind of our youth, we really can sometimes struggle with those choices. And so I thought it would be a really good thing to focus on. And the thing is I think that doesn't mean that the adults are off the hook. I think we have a hard time sometimes making good choices as well. And so certainly this fits for the rest of us also. Now, throughout my life, I've made some good choices, and I've made some bad choices. And just an example, some good choices. Marrying my wife is one of those choices. Now, she's not here right now. She was here first service. Can you guys just tell her that I said that? Make sure I get my brownie points I need. No, I'm just joking. I love my wife, and that was a good choice. My family and I coming here to Chapel, honestly, great choice. And God led us here. And, you know, we were in a transition time of moving out of ministry and just kind of praying about what God wanted, where that he wanted our family. And we really wanted the whole family to feel like it's what God was doing. And he brought us here, and that's been a real blessing to us as a family, and so we're thankful for that. So that was a good choice. I was getting involved in youth ministry. I hadn't done that for a while, and so most of the time it's a good choice. I'm looking at a few people back there. I'm not sure, but no, I'm just joking. No, it's a good choice. Some not-so-good choices I've made. One would be, this is back a little while ago when my son was much younger, Caleb was much younger, and I decided I thought it would be fun to ride his little bicycle. And so I was riding his little bicycle, and it kind of started to go uphill a little, so I had to put a little more pressure on the pedals, and I'm not the smallest of guys. And the chain broke, and I went flying over the handlebars, and this is in the park, and everyone saw me, and everyone came running over, and yeah, it was not a good choice. In terms of youth ministry, some not good choices. Allowing Elise and Caleb to direct me down a mountain. We were at work camp. Not a good choice. I always get blamed for that, but it's really on them. And I can say that since I'm standing in front here now. So, another not so good choice is playing a game that involved Ed. Ed's not here this morning, right? I don't see him. No? Okay. Ed Frere. And involved Ed, Oreos, and getting way too close to Ed's lips. That was probably a bad choice. I still have nightmares about it, but I was going to show a picture, but I didn't want to disturb all of you, so we'll leave it at that. But anyways, the truth is in life, I've certainly made worse choices than those things, and that has impacted my life, and I've made good choices that have impacted my life, because again, the reality is that the choices that we make, they direct the path that we go down and the life that we end up building. And so again, just want to talk about making good choices this morning. We're going to use Romans 12, 1 and 2 as our primary passage this morning. And so let me read that for you. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." All right, let me just pray for us. Father, I just come before you this morning, and I just thank you for every person who's here. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd all just open up our hearts to hear whatever it is that you might want to speak to each one of us. Father, I pray, Lord, that I would get out of your way, Lord, and you would do what you want to do, and you would speak what you want to speak. And so, Father, we just present this morning to you, and we just trust you for it. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're just going to, this again, going to be our primary passage that we're going to use this morning. First question, though, that we have here this morning is, what's a good choice, right? We're talking about making good choices. Well, what do we mean by that? So I'm going to give you a basic definition. But before that, just understand that when we talk about making a good choice, we're not talking about some ethics or morality or that type of thing. A lot of times when we think about good choices, that's what kind of comes into play. What we're really talking about is that a good choice is simply the choice that's God's will. That's what a good choice is. God's will, performing God's will. That's a good choice. And so we need to understand more about that. We need to unpack that a little bit more today then, right? 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now, in this passage, we see kind of two choices that we have in terms of choices that we can make. All right? The first choice is to live our life guided by our own human evil desires. Well, that's what it says, evil in the text. And the reason why it's evil is because it's not what number two is. Right? The other choice is to live our life guided by God's will. Those are really our choices. When we're going to make a choice, we can either follow after what it is that we desire, or we can follow after what it is that God desires. And the thing is if we're really honest with ourselves, we can get in the way of what God wants to do. All right? And we can, throughout our days, we can follow what we want more than what God wants. And I think it's really easy to fall into that. And so we have to be really careful and just really focus on that. And hopefully this morning will help us to kind of think about that a little bit more. But those are our two choices. There's no kind of in between. It's one or the other. The thing we need to understand is whether we choose to follow our own human desire or we choose to follow God's will, that's what's going to lead us to action, which ultimately is going to build up our life. All right? And so that's why it's so important. One of the things that I know my kids are used to hearing probably almost every single day, I'm talking to them about making good choices. At night, yeah, my daughter's shaking her head, yeah. Probably sick of hearing it, but I talk about it probably almost daily. I talk about making good choices. When I pray with them, I'm praying about making good choices. And because, again, that's ultimately what's going to lead them to the life that they're going to live. And sometimes we just don't understand that. And as adults, that's true, too. And so we need to understand that. So in terms of God's will, there's kind of two categories that I put in. We have God's general will and God's specific will. And this is really important to understand because this is where we can kind of miss out on what God really wants to do in our life. In terms of God's general will, we're talking about things like loving others, not stealing or lying, helping those in need, working hard, and things like that. Now, those things are things that, yes, they're in Scripture. They're things that we're called to. We see that in the Bible. But the reality is, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who don't necessarily read the Bible, who don't necessarily have a relationship with God, that do some of those things. Right? And what we have to be careful of is that this doesn't become some sort of moral or ethical code for us, rather than a life directed by God. Because it can be easy, or not easy, I shouldn't say, but on some level to live our life focused on these things rather than the relationship with God that's going to have us live out those things. Right? So in terms of God's general will, we just have to be really careful to make sure that we're not just going through the motions, but that it's because of our relationship with Him that we're doing those things. Now, in terms of God's specific will, that's in many ways where we can see, okay, has God really been working in my life? Because these general things, it can be a little bit tougher. But let's think about these things a little bit more specifically. So who should I spend my time loving? Right now, obviously, we know we're called to love everyone. But in terms of our life, in terms of really how I'm going to spend my time, you know, what population, what people do you want me to love God? So right now, I'm involved in youth ministry, right? So I have to love the teens. Yes, I have to. It's hard sometimes, but no, I'm just joking. I love you guys. All right? So, but that's part of what God's called me to right now in my life, right? So what does that look like for you, right? So it's not just about loving others. It's what has God specifically called you to in terms of living that out, right? How should I love the person that's hard to love, right? And this can be a real differentiator, right? For you guys that are in school and things like that, the youth here, I'm sure there's a lot of people at school that can be hard to love. Right? Maybe it's a bully. Maybe it's, you know, someone that thinks that they're better than everyone else or whatever. All those things that happen in school. But the thing is God calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to love others, even those that are difficult to love. So how am I going to love that person that's bullying people or maybe even bullying me. Right? That's God's specific will, and we need to seek Him for that. What type of job do you want me doing? Right? We just had a couple that came up here that are graduating, and, you know, are we seeking after God to understand what He has for our life? That's God's specific will for us. How should I serve you at church? Right? It's great that we're all here, and it's great that we're part of Chapel of the Cross, but how does God want to use you? I believe that that's really important. I believe that being part of a church community is about service too, right? So when me and my family came here, one of the focuses for me was say, okay, well, God, well, why do you want me here? How do you want to use me here? Right? It's not just about kind of receiving, but about how do you want to use me? And I know that it's good to go to church and stuff like that, and that's kind of the general, but specifically, God, how do you want to use me? Right? And that's what God's talking about in terms of His specific will. How and who should I help that's in need? Right? We know we're supposed to help people in need, but how? Well, we talk to God about that, and He specifically will show us and reveal us those things. All right, but the point is all these things in terms of God's specific will, these are things that we have to be in a relationship with Him to receive those things. Right? The things over on the other side, God's general will, we can kind of know those without that relationship. We'll have a hard time living them out, but we can know those things. So when we go back to our text, it talks about God's will in here, right? At the very bottom, right, it says God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when we use this word good, we, in our present culture, this is not a good word in terms of what we mean here in this text, right? When we talk about something being good, it's usually like, hey, how did your game go? Oh, it was good. Right? Or how did school go today? Ah, it was good. Well, I shouldn't use school because I know that's not usually good, right, for kids, right? But anyways, you ask someone something, when they say good, they usually mean like average or okay, right? That's what we mean when we usually say good. But that's not what we're getting at here in this text, okay? What it really means is talking it's awesome, it's great, excellent, godly, whatever you want to put in there, right? It's the best choice. And that's really important to understand. So, because again, and that's part of why I put the word good in quotes, because we often kind of misuse that and misunderstand that. Right? This is the best choice. It also says that it's pleasing. His will is pleasing. Well, I think it's pleasing in two different ways. And so the first one I'm going to talk about is we have to understand that we serve a God who's really big, right? All powerful, all knowing. And at the same time, He loves little us, right? And I don't understand how He does that sometimes. Sometimes it's just like, how the heck do you love us? Because I don't know about you, but I screw it up pretty regularly. And to think that God's that patient with us is pretty amazing, right? But in the midst of that, we have to understand that this God who's this big cares about each and every one of us and wants to give us the best life possible, right? And when I say that, I don't mean from a worldly perspective. I mean from His perspective. Right, and the reality is I don't know if you've been in those seasons where you really feel like you're walking in God's will, right? But those feelings, there's a sense of just peace. It's pleasing when you're walking in God's will and just experiencing that. The other side of it, and really kind of maybe what's more of going on in this verse, is that word also can have the connotation of being acceptable. And really what we're talking about is talking about being acceptable to God. Right, so the only thing that's acceptable to God is doing His will. Right? And so that means we should probably spend a lot of time understanding what His will is for our life. And again, we're going to break that down a little bit this morning. Number three says that His will is perfect. Now, when we talk about perfect here, there's a few different words that I'm going to use to help us understand that come out of kind of the connotation of the original language here. But first, we talk about being whole or complete. And what it means by that, when you think about God's will, when you're doing God's will, there's nothing more to do. It's complete. Right? There's nothing to add from it or subtract from it. So if you're in the midst of God's will, there's no like, oh, I gotta go do other stuff. And sometimes we can do that, we can get too busy, and we're not balanced, and we can do some really good things that are not necessarily God's will. Right? But God's looking for, it's complete. And then there's this idea of undivided in there as well. And what that means is, in God's will, it's God's will. There's none of us in there, right? So we talked about the human nature versus God's will. When we're in God's will, there's none of us in there. It's God. It's Him in there, undivided. Now, this idea of home complete, there's a story of Francis of Assisi. Put it up here for you. Maybe I won't. Anyone want to help me out here? Thanks, Daryl. So anyways, I can tell you the story without, but Francis of Assisi was in his field, and he was hoeing his garden, and someone came up to him and basically said, "Hey, listen, if you were to die today, what would you go and do?" And he said, "I would finish hoeing my garden." Right? And I love that, because what he's trying to say is, I'm in the midst of God's will. Right here, what I'm doing. And sometimes when we ask a question, I think, oh, I'd go do all these different things. This is the thing, is we want to live a life right now that we know we're in the midst of God's will. Because when we do, that's complete. We're doing what God has called us to do. And it doesn't need to be anything more or less. And that's what we're talking about. Okay? Was that me? Okay, I don't know what happened. Thanks, Daryl. Daryl prayed over it, and now it's good. All right, so making a good choice means doing God's will. But how can we live this out? How can we live this out in our lives? Well, that's where, again, we get into our text a little bit more. But Romans 7:18 first says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." I don't know if you ever feel like that. I mean, there's that passage where Paul is kind of wrestling with himself in terms of like, oh, I got to do this, but I can't do it, but I'm trying to do it, but I want to do it. And, you know, it's all that confusing stuff going on in there. And I can relate to that. There's definitely times I look at my life, I'm like, no, I know I don't want to do that, but I did it. And can we kind of go through that? I think one of the times that we go through that probably most significantly is in our youth. Right? In terms of like, this is one of the things I see in terms of working with youth, and you guys can hear me on this, is we go to like youth group, or we go to like a retreat, or we go to camp or whatever, and we get all pumped up and like, yeah, I'm going to do the right thing. And then we kind of get back to school and get back to life. And then it's kind of like, well, okay, I'm kind of being influenced by these things. We start doing our own thing again. Right? And then we go back to youth group and we're reminded, oh yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm supposed to do God's will. I'm supposed to do that. We get excited a day or two, and then we're back, and it's this back and forth thing. Right? And the same can be true for us as adults as well. There's this battle within us. And the point I want to make here is that we can't do it ourselves. Right? So you're not going to suddenly start doing God's will because you try really hard. And this is what's important to understand, because I don't know about you. Well, no, I do know about you. We're all broken. All right? We're all broken. And God loves us enough to help us through that, so that we can make those good choices. But the point is we can't do it ourselves. We can't. It just doesn't work that way. Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says, "Salvation in Christ introduces a new possibility of knowing and doing the good." I love that. All right. Salvation in Christ introduces a new possibility of knowing and doing the good. To me, that's awesome. Right? Because the reality is we can't really do good without a relationship with Him. Right? Again, I put that in quotes, good, because what we think of as good, like, again, I know what we would call good people, but understanding that a good choice in doing good is doing God's will. And we can't do God's will without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what empowers us to do His will. Without that, it's impossible. And unfortunately, as Christians, sometimes we forget that. We get in these places where we start to try to do it on our own. And that's when it becomes that ethical and moral code versus a relationship with God that's bringing that about in our lives. And so we have to be careful with that. So we jump back into our text here to help us understand a little bit more how we can live out God's will. Start at the beginning. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy." So the therefore there could be pointing to a few different things, but if you were to look at chapter 11, the end of chapter 11 in Romans, there's this great text in there that's talking about how awesome God is and how unfathomable His thoughts are and just how great He is. Right? And then that pulls into this verse. Okay? So you have this picture at the end of Romans chapter 11, which we understand it wasn't broken up that way, so there's kind of this flow of this awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And then the other side of it, it's therefore in view of God's mercies. So again, we have this all-knowing, all-powerful God who also is merciful to us. and understand that this says in view of God's mercy, but in the original text here, it's mercies. There's more than one. It's a continuation. God is always being merciful to us. So the point here is, again, this awesome God who really could just, you know, kind of step on us, and probably at times I don't understand why he doesn't, but he doesn't, because he loves us, right? He's merciful to us. And as a result of that, understanding that, I want you to go and do this. This is what you should do, understanding that. The slide messed up. That's my fault this time. So it goes on, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, and then it says, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Right? So in here, we're going to talk about bodies first. When it talks about our bodies, it's talking about all that we are. Right? In Scripture, it uses this body reference a lot. It talks about it in terms of unity. It talks about a lot of different things. But, you know, we have hands, we have feet, eyes, all these things. And the idea here is this completeness. And so as we offer our bodies, we're talking about every part, everything that we are. And that means every part of our life, no matter what it is, whether it's ugly, whether it looks good, it's our kids, our careers, everything. We're giving it over to him, every single part of it. The next word here, offer, it has the sense of to place at the disposal of. Right, so if I were to have something like a guitar, don't worry if Peter's in the room, I won't touch it. If it was Ian's, I would touch it. But all right, so if I had a guitar and I was just put this, I said, "Hey, you know what? Here's my guitar." Oh, there he is back there. He's watching. I know people get very, you know, sentimental about their instruments. So if I were to take the guitar and say, "Here, I'm placing this at your disposal," what I'm saying is, here, it's basically it's yours. Do with it as you please. Right? No musician would actually do that, but anyways. God, that's what we need to do before God with every aspect of who we are. Say, God, here I am, and I am giving you my life. Do with it whatever you want. Anything you want. Go and do it. I'm yours. And that can be hard to do because we like to be in control, right? All of us on some level. And certain, especially in certain areas of our life, maybe our kids and things like that. Like, we like to be in control. But God calls us to offer ourselves completely over to him. Right? The other thing that's important here is this offer here, and you don't see this again, kind of in the original text, you see it a little bit more, is this is a continuous action. This isn't a one-time deal. Right? And this is important because, yes, there's a time and point in our life where we move into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and we make that decision. But this is something that we need to be doing every day. Because I don't know about you, and I've seen a lot of people who, yeah, they make that decision, but then we kind of get busy with life. And we kind of just start making decisions ourselves. And it's really not really about him anymore on a regular basis. But I can promise you that if every single day you woke up and you say, all right, God, I'm offering myself to you. I'm offering my life to you, my job, my kids, everything in my life. Do with it as you please today. Whatever you want. I guarantee your day is going to be different. Right? I guarantee the kids that are here, the youth that are here, if every morning they woke up, got out of their funk that they're in because they had to wake up, and then they get ready to go to school. And that was their focus, was to say, God, use me how you want to use me today. My life is yours. I guarantee that this day is going to be different. Okay? All right, so as we go on here, so then it says, so we offer bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, the holy and pleasing to God, understand, I don't know about you, but I know that I'm not holy, all right? Because that's perfection. I'm not perfect. But what's awesome is that as I move into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, God does see me as holy because of what Christ did for me. Right? So although on this earth I have that sanctification process of kind of living that out and working that out, God sees me as holy. So the only way I can really offer myself to God in that way is because of what he's done for me. Right? So I offer myself in that way because Christ has taken it on himself. It's really important to understand. And then it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Now, in here there's a Greek word, logikos. What does that sound like? Logical. Right? And so it might be better to look at it in terms of reasonable service. And this, the only reason why I point that out in this text is because think about what we've talked about so far. We have this big God, all-knowing, all-powerful, and he has this amazing amount of mercy on us, offering up his son and then continuing to be merciful to us. And we know he has the best interest in mind for us and knows better for us. Doesn't it make sense that we'd offer ourselves over to him? Because the only reason why we have life is because of him. And that's what this is getting at. So our logical, our reasonable faith, if you will, in this instance, is to offer ourselves to him. And like, it's kind of crazy, like, and I don't know why we do it, because we're broken, I guess, but if you think about it, every day, like, when we start to take back control, because we do, right, we do, like, it just doesn't make any sense. We have a God who, like, knows all, he has it all under control, and like, every day, he just wants to be like, hey, I'll help you through this. I'll show you my will, just come to me and ask, and I'll show you. But yet, for whatever reason, little ourselves, we like try to take back control and do it ourselves. It just doesn't make sense, right? And so we got to learn to serve him in that way more in our lives. So what does it look like then to offer ourselves every day? Because this is what we're talking a lot about. And the first thing that came to mind for me was my kids, actually. So this is Caleb and Ariana. Some of you know them. I chose kid pictures of when they were younger, because if some people know them and already, so that would be boring. This is back in Caleb's Mohawk day. So I'm sure you guys are all appreciating that back there. You can make fun of them later. but this is what I mean by this. So I want you to think about, I don't know as a parent, but this is what my life is like. And some of it's good and some of it's bad. I do feel like I'm called to be the best dad that I can be. And sometimes maybe I get carried away with it. I don't know. But when I like wake up in the morning, one of the first things I'm thinking, okay, are my kids up? Are they getting ready for school? Did they get everything done they need to get done? They get off to school. I'm like thinking, oh, I hope they got there safely. During the day, I'm kind of thinking, I hope they're making good choices. I hope they're working hard, right? And at the end of the day, I'm making sure they get where they need to go. I'm helping them get better at whatever they're doing, whether it be school or sports or whatever. And throughout the whole day, I'm focused on them and what I can do to be a better dad and all that type of stuff. Well, what if I gave that amount of time and attention to God and what God wants for me throughout the day? Right? What about if when I first woke up, I said, okay, God, this is your day. What do you want to do with me today? And then as I went through the day, I went to work or whatever I did, and I'm interacting with people, and maybe I walk into a tough situation, say, hey, God, how do you want me to respond in this situation? I know I'm supposed to love people, but how do you specifically want me to love this person right now? Right. And then as my day continues to go and I get home and, okay, how do you want me to love my wife? How do you want me to love my kids? How do you want me to serve my kids? Right. What if I was doing that in the same way I do for my kids? Right. I think that's a little bit of what it looks like. It's this, I always say it's kind of this constant conversation. You're never hanging up the phone with God. Right. It's just throughout the day. I think that's what we're talking about in terms of what it looks like to continuously offer ourselves to him. So as we continue to go through this, it then says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So what's the pattern of this world? Well, we have a tendency when we talk about the pattern of this world to think about like the really bad things. Right? So we tend to think about like, oh, okay, well, I didn't go out and shoot anyone today. You know, I didn't go out and, you know, lie on my test. Better not over there. Rocky, you in trouble? I'm just joking. All right. Now mom's looking over. Sorry, I'm getting people in trouble in the middle of service. But we think of all these like really bad things, right? But this is the thing, is I think it kind of disguises itself in much kind of smaller ways that maybe sometimes we don't pick up on. Okay, so these are some of the things that come to mind for me. Okay, comfort and safety comes first. Wealth, power, and influence drive us. Popularity and fame fuel us. Me, mine, and I are the focus. And then ultimately, it's about something other than God shapes and influences our life. Now, when I talk about all these things I just talked about, besides the last one, understand, and this is what's important, and this is why we have to be careful, is none of those things in and of themselves are bad, except for the last one. None of those things in and of themselves are bad, right? Comfort and safety isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Nothing wrong with being safe. The problem becomes is when we put on that last phrase, right? So comfort and safety come first. It comes before other things, before maybe what God wants me to do. Right? Wealth, power, and influence drive us. There's nothing wrong necessarily with having money in and of itself. There's nothing wrong with having influence over people in and of itself. But when that's what's driving us versus what God wants, that's when the problem becomes. This next one, popularity and fame fuel us, is one that probably a lot of the teens in the room can relate to, right? Because there's a lot of influence to be popular, to be liked, and to all those things. And there's nothing wrong with being liked. But when that's what fuels us and fuels our choices, then that's where the problem lies. And then me, mine, and I, there's nothing wrong with taking care of ourselves, but ourselves aren't the focus. We ultimately have to seek after God and what He wants for us. Right? So what it comes down to is something other than God shapes and influences our life. This is what we're saying the pattern of the world is. So what happens when we do offer ourselves? Well, we already said we don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But what? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, this transformation that we're talking about, it actually comes from the root word, same root word from the transfiguration. But so it's this sense of real and lasting change. It's not like just this little thing like, oh, yeah, okay, relationship with God and I'm offering myself. It's a real change. There's an impact in our life. Right? It's by the renewing of our mind. And we're talking about making good choices. And that comes out of kind of what's going on in our mind. Right? We kind of decide on something, then we make a choice, and it leads our life. So when we think about conforming versus transforming, this is what I think of. I think of a chameleon versus a butterfly. Okay? Now, nothing wrong with a chameleon. I don't know if anyone has a chameleon. But when a chameleon changes, it does so to conform, right? To fit into its surroundings. So it's like it. And then it, when it's comfortable and it feels safe, it goes back to its original. Right? And so there's no lasting change. It's for a period of time and it's just to blend in. And then it'll go blend in again and come back. And then it'll go blend in again and it'll come back. Right? That's what a chameleon does. All right? Now on the other side, we have a butterfly. Now, a butterfly starts as a caterpillar. Right now, I really don't like caterpillars. I don't know what the rest of you. I see some head shaking. No. I understand. Although the caterpillars right now that are terrorizing us are the ones that turn into moths, I believe, right? Is that accurate? Yeah, okay, all right. So we're okay. We can like the ones that turn into butterflies, I guess. The point is the transformation that happens here is you have these caterpillars, and they're just kind of crawling around the ground, you know, doing their thing. But then there's this amazing transformation that happens, right? They go from these creatures that barely can kind of move along the ground to these beautiful creatures that now can fly and are free, moving around. And to me, that's a great picture of transformation because then it's done. They don't go back to caterpillars, right? They're transformed forever, completely. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. And as we offer ourselves to Him, that's what should be happening to us. We should be experiencing that transformation in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So sometimes when we talk about unveiled faces and reflection, a lot of people think back to Moses. We're not going to get a lot into that this morning, but if some of you know the story of Moses kind of going up and spending time with God and doing that, just spending time with God made him basically shine, right? And then he ends up veiling his face. We're not going to get into the reasons why this morning. But the point is that I want you to take is just being in the presence of God transformed him, changed him. Right? And the same thing should be true in our lives. As we offer over to Him everything that we are, we're transformed. And then we should shine, not necessarily literally, although I have a story about that in a second, but we should shine and go and be light, right? I had this instance one time where I was hesitant to tell this story, but I was driving in the car with some friends. We were going to support another friend, and there was someone in the car that didn't know me, and at the time I was a pastor, and so someone mentioned it. Somehow that came up, And the woman in the car was like, oh, you're a pastor. She's like, I knew there was something different about you. There was just like this glow, she said. All right, and don't worry, I don't think I walk around glowing, so don't worry. All right, but she said that to me, and I was like, huh. And so we ended up having this great conversation about God stuff and everything. And what was cool is in that moment, I really believed that she saw God in me. It had nothing to do with me. The glow and the shine, that wasn't me. We all know that, right? But that was God in some way. All right. And so that's a little more literal. And that was a little, it was weird. It's kind of a cool God moment. I felt like these bumps go down my back and all that type of stuff. And God was doing stuff. But this is the thing is, as we transform, and, you know, youth that are out there, like, you guys have an opportunity to be light. Like, that's one of the things I missed. I remember back, like, you know, when you were in youth group or things like that, and going to school and even college to a degree, that's a great opportunity to be light. And not that as adults we have a great opportunity at work and stuff like that, but it's a great opportunity. And if we're experiencing that transformation, we're called to be living our life with unveiled faces, reflecting who God is to other people. And they'll see that. And we'll have opportunities to share who he is in people's lives. And that's part of that transformation. Okay. Going back to our text. So he talked about not conforming and transforming. Then it goes on. It says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And this is absolutely 100% my favorite part in the verse. Because for me, in my journey with God, I was always trying to kind of understand, like, how can I hear from God more? How can I hear from God more? And that's a big part of my story in other ways that I don't have time for today. But what I love about this verse and why this has always been one of my favorite passages is that it says right in there, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. To me, that's awesome. Again, we have this big, awesome, all-knowing, all-powerful God, right, who loves us enough to say, for each one of us, I care about each and every one of you, and I want to reveal to you specifically what I have for you. Not just for big life stuff, but for every moment you're in. To me, that's awesome to think that we can have that. Why we don't kind of go to that reservoir more, I don't know. Right? That's that struggle we have sometimes. But that's what God promises us. And that's awesome. And it begins by offering ourselves to him. So what now? Where do we go from here? Well, the first part is, I've made it probably pretty clear, is the first part is to offer ourselves. Right? And if you're sitting here this morning and maybe you haven't done that, I encourage you, offer yourself. You don't need to have it figured all out, but if something makes sense and God's talking to you, say, God, I offer myself to you, and then talk to someone about that. All right? Maybe you're here and you have offered yourself, but you're sitting here listening and you'll be like, you know, I don't know that I'm doing this every day. Right? I don't know that I'm continually offering myself. I encourage you to be thinking about that. Youth that are here, encourage you guys every day to be thinking about, how can I offer myself to God? What does that look like in my life? Because the choices that you make will impact your future. And sometimes we don't understand how much. Okay? And it can be little choices added up together. So encourage everyone here to offer ourselves. And then I already kind of alluded to the second one, which is intentionally seeking God's specific will for our life, in every part of our life. Again, not just the big things, but everything. And that's what's awesome about the God that we serve is, even though he's so big, he wants to be in the midst of every little detail of our life. And, you know, one thing to think about, too, and consider as I come to an end here is that I know a lot of people are going through a lot of different things over the last few weeks, month or whatever. I was actually supposed to preach about a month ago and something came up with me. And things have been crazy here for a little while. So this is the thing I want you to understand, though, is even when you're making good choices, understand that life still happens, right? So there's no like once we're making good choices for God, well, life's going to be perfect, right? It doesn't work that way, right? We live in a broken world and things happen, all right? So, but what we do know is that in the midst of those times, whether we're walking through really good times or really hard times, God is right there to speak to you, to support you, and to show you, this is what I want you to do in the midst of that season of your life. And that is guaranteed to us because God loves us enough to do that. And he has a plan for each and every one of us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. And we have to hold on to that promise. Let me pray for us. Father, I just come before you this morning, and I do thank you for every single person who's here. Father, I thank you that you love us as much as you do. And I think that we don't completely grasp that. But just thank you so much. Thank you for sending your Son, and thank you for your continued love and mercy that you have over us. Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone here that we would offer ourselves, that we would learn how to do that every day, every moment of our life. I pray specifically for the youth that are in the room, Lord, that that they would try to get off that roller coaster and just continue to offer themselves over to you on a daily basis, Father, so that they can make those good choices, so that they can follow your will. And Father, I just pray that for each one of us, Lord, that just we would be real with you about where we're at that, and that you would work in our life, and that you just continue to build us into what you desire us to be. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.